Thank you, brothers. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? And I don't know whether they're the authors of the song, are they? Amen. They are, aren't they? They didn't put their names on the bottom of the words, did they? Shows their humility. But it's a blessing from the Lord to have that music and that song and that thought. It's a wonderful theme. Remove not the ancient landmark. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 22, please, and we'll look at that verse again. We'll read the verse, and then we'll move across to another scripture in chapter 23, which is a repeat of the same verse. Proverbs 22, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man that is diligent in business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Over into chapter 23 and verse 10. Remove not the old landmark. Nevertheless, that's a reference to the old dean of students. But anyway, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Remove not the old landmark. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your Spirit would guide us in your word today. We're a needy people. We live in a day of changing landmarks, of moving landmarks, disappearing, demolishing landmarks. And Lord, we understand that we are no better for it. In fact, we are the worse. And I pray to God this morning that you would teach us, Lord, the value of this truth. Impact this upon us, Lord, and throughout the year as we consider this. Lord, that we might be a people that are committed to the landmark of God, of the Word of God, all of the different aspects that come through that are important, monumental truths that we should understand and that we should live within. Boundaries that need to be established, Lord, from your word. Guide us and teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've rushed into this. Our Bible College ministry is doing well again this year. We have approximately 14 full-time students and a similar number of part-time, daytime. Then, of course, there are the evening classes. There's about 15 booked in to the evening class run at the college. And then there are other college extension programs that are run over at Faith Baptist. They have a good number. I think they probably have about 30 to 50 people over there in the different subjects that are being taught. So the Lord is using the ministry of the college and in teaching and training people. Current students, would you please stand up? Current students. Come on, Joshua, on your feet there. Joshua has come to us from Queensland, so we're glad to have him with us. And hold on a minute. Wilson Wong. Sister Rachel. And as you know, Brother Sister Brianna. Isn't that good? So it's good to have these in front row. Now, if you have completed a college program, please stand. If you've done a college course or completed Bible College, would you stand? Everybody, there you are. So the college has had an impact on a good number of people in this church, but it's not the end of the story, because you could be the next one. Amen. So never rule that out. Make yourself open to the Lord's guidance. One of the key things that the Bible College ministry is about is establishing the ancient landmark. It is getting the Word of God into the lives of men and women, and also causing them to understand what are the landmark truths, what are the key and important monumental truths of the Word of God that form the foundation and boundary of life. So it is largely to do with that. And that involves all of us, doesn't it? In some way or another. So this morning I'd like to consider this truth. Remove not the ancient landmark. And I'd like to consider the boy that removed the ancient landmarks in conclusion as well this morning, as we think about this subject. Remove not. There are some things that are vital and valuable that we ought not to remove. In our church that we pastored in Adelaide for over 20 years, nearly 27 years, the Lord gave us a beautiful property, 1.89 hectares. Only we had an occasion to have the land surveyed yet again along the way because of a project that we wanted to undertake. And we found out that looking at the property, our right-hand boundary was 3 metres in the wrong position, giving the neighbour those 3 metres, 3 metres by 140 metres. Our neighbour liked the idea of those fruit trees that he had down there. He was the previous owner, and he told us, well, that's your place along here. Now, there were surveying pegs put in, landmarks. However, when we began to enter the property and began to use the property, they seemed to disappear. Well, we found out that the elderly neighbour, he liked that row of fruit trees and some almond trees. So he said, your boundary is this side of those fruit trees, claiming those 3 metres. But on the other side, we had another problem. We had an Italian lady and her husband that owned that property right around us, right around our perimeter. And she'd look at the almonds. She'd look at the work of the ground. She'd not look at a part with anything. Well, she ran her tractor down that other side, and lo and behold, the markers disappeared along that side as well. I don't know, I don't think Mama did it, but I think she had Papa organised to do it, because down there they went with their plough, they used to plough between the trees and it went. So you see, this business of landmarks and this business of establishing boundaries is quite a tricky business. Now throughout the city you've got surveyors that get around, and praise the Lord, there are certain datum points that are located in certain important places that are on Crown land, not private land, because of the problem I was talking about. And so the surveyor, he'll set up there and he'll work his points off of that point back to where the different markers are for the different properties. And often this is a problem. Now the Lord told, back in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord told his people when they entered the land and surveyed the land and divided the land into the different tribes and then down into the different families, that they were to place landmarks that were not to be removed. People were not to tamper with landmarks. God was recognizing the ownership. Question, does government really recognise the ownership of property as the Bible does and as they used to? Well, you can work on that answer for yourself. So, the problem with that is that landmarks can tend to be taken away. Landmarks and disputes of ownership and so forth go on all the time. When I was in Vanuatu and involved in building the first building there at Camp Shining Light, still standing well and as the main meeting place and so forth there. The previous owner, we called him landlord, He kept wandering over the properties and looking at our building work. And I said to Brother Panero, I said, "Who is that?" He said, "That's landlord." He said, "We purchased this piece of property for the cost of an outboard motor. He needed an outboard motor. He didn't need the property. So they did a transaction which involved them getting the property for the cost of an outboard motor." But you've heard that term Indian giver, haven't you? You've heard that idea. Landlord would keep coming over. And I said to Pastor Panero, I said, I'm not sure, I don't feel comfortable about this. Him coming over all the time. Am I building this for the Lord's work or for him? Is he going to come back and, you know? But anyway, to this day, no, he stayed by the deal, and turns out that he is a Christian man that knows the Lord, so that was a good thing. But the problem there in the islands all the time is disputes over land holdings, and some Australians have been very foolish in going to some island places and thinking, "Oh, this would be a great place for resort. How much can I buy this for this resort?" Some famous Australians went over and they, thinking they bought this wonderful resort site. Next time they came back, they discovered the story had changed. Landmarks were not in position and so forth, and tribal interests came into it. They didn't own the land at all. So there's all sorts of problems along this line in the realms of real estate and so forth. But more than that, the problems that we have today in the landmarks or boundaries, which is what they are, is a great problem in our English-speaking Western society. Because we live now at the end of about 100 years of moving landmarks, of demolishing a landmark, just demolishing and removing laws and different things that established our society on Christian foundations and the commandments of God. We live in a day where there has been a tremendous movement of the boundaries and so forth, and some legislation of the past has been demolished, other has been brought in that's worse. I understand that Mr. Abbott is going to have a special time where he is going to try and get the Parliament to rescind, I think, 2,150 bad laws, bureaucratic laws that tie up and bind down our society. It's going to be quite a challenge. I think Lewis is going to be going down there to be on the cheer squad. But those things are all negative things that are that mind up the society and come out of the mind of man, out of the rational ideas of people that are influenced by certain types of understandings of life. So it is that the Bible does remind us then to stay with the ancient landmarks. There are reasons why landmarks are in place. There are reasons why datum points are established, why surveying pegs are marked. There are reasons, and part of that reason is to identify human life and the importance of the human life and the importance of an individual and private ownership and so forth. These things are well established and we ought not to remove them. They're God's ways, but in the moral realm, oh, how the landmarks have been destroyed in the moral realm. Now they can't even, they're trying to rearrange the idea of what marriage is. It's ridiculous, trying to move that landmark. And thank God for those that are standing firm on what marriage is all about and are trying to go by the book. They're trying to go by the Ten Commandments. Thank God for that. And how we need to pray for those that are standing in that way. Thou shalt not kill yet. I think it's something like 83,000 abortions take place in a year's time across this country. And you imagine, add that up over the years. No wonder some of us I wonder our society is looking older. Well, the average age is looking older, and it's going to go that way. Abortion is still murder. Euthanasia, for instance, we have fought against that over the years. Euthanasia is mercy killing. And the whole idea is the brave heart, oh, it's terrible to see Granny suffering like this. After all, she's very old. She's 67. Oh, she's very old. And she's suffering. Why can't we just give her a little tablet and put her to sleep? Huh? I don't know whether it's not a good idea, is it? Yet in many countries they have brought that in because that movement in that of that landmark threatens your very existence. Brothers and sisters, that is something that we have battled for over the years, the importance of that. So euthanasia, we've battled against euthanasia. But now in some countries they want to tweak the law to say that as they identify a fetus being formed, as they look at the genetic makeup and so forth and other things, if they can identify some faults in there, euthanasia means it gives people power to terminate pregnancies and end lives. It's dangerous, isn't it? An ancient landmark that's being removed. And the seniors carer over there is giving me a real positive response there, who's working with people at the end of their days and so on. But that is just one way in which the landmarks are moved and things change. Things are changing. We live in a changing world. The landmarks, beloved, are going down. Landmarks. Now a landmark is an outcrop of rock, perhaps. It is a major tree, perhaps. Or it could be a glorious church on a certain corner of Burns Bay Road and Cullen Street. Amen? There it stands, and people coming up the road, looking over this way. I was sitting out there praying and preparing there at the last moments, and people were looking my way, they were looking over here, there's the church. Some of them had that look, oh no, there's turkeys going into the church. Oh. Why they've removed the landmark, they don't understand the value and the importance of God's house and God's people worshipping the Almighty God and seeking to get into His book. The book of God is the major and monumental landmark for believers. And we need to be in that book daily and getting to know the truth of the Word of God. Landmarks. You know, the New Testament teaches the same thing regarding landmarks of the Christian faith. Over in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, 2 Timothy 1:13, over in the book of Timothy, you see the similar thing is taught to the man of God who would be a preacher of the Word of God, and to every believer in Christ. This is being taught here that the young man being prepared to preach the Word of God needs to know the landmarks of God. He needs to be established upon the truths of God and not to be moved either way away from the truth of God's Word. And in 2 Timothy, we see here the apostle is encouraging young Timothy in this regard. Verse 13, chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast! Don't remove the landmark. Hold on to the landmark of God, of God's Word, of God's truth, and of the teachings of the Word of God. Hold on to them. Don't be moved away from the truths of God's Word and those landmarks in the Word of God that stand out and are so fundamental and important to those of us who know the Lord and to the work of God. Verse 1 of chapter 2, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's a spiritual warfare and battle out there. And the warfare is all about the devil trying to demolish the landmarks. He's trying to get rid of the boundaries. That's why the ecumenical movement have the statement, no taboos. That's where they're at, no taboos. Everything is okay. I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay. It's not a biblical theology, is it? What, at all? That's exactly opposite that. And there's a battle going on. If you're going to stand upon the Word of God and stand for the landmarks, you're going to have a battle. Now, I had to go and speak to Mama on a few occasions. Remember when she had her gas gun going off all the time through church services. I said, excuse me, madam, this is a church meeting here, and we would ask you, please, to refrain from having your gas gun go off every 10 minutes. That scared the birds off the almonds, you see. Every 10 minutes, bang! Visitors to the church for the first time, boy, did they jump when, through summer when the almonds were almost ripe. So I had to ask Mama, please, can we have that gun off? Although, anyway, finally she agreed. But then I said, now, another occasion, I said, now we're having a resurvey done. We are putting markers down. This is costing us money. We are putting our boundary markers down, and we would ask you, please, to refrain from running your tractor over these markers. Not only that, I got the boys to get some of those star droppers, and we hammered them in, sledgy, you know, hammered them in a good long way and kept an eye on those boundary markers because we felt important to us that we establish which is church property since we paid for it. Amen. But we had to remind her again of that. You know, I think we need to be reminded today there is a battle over the landmarks. And, you know, you just wonder what the next lot of legislation, what the next deform is that's coming down the pipe. They call them reforms, but they're not a reform at all. They're a defamation. They're a deform from the truth. And a defamation against God. So then, it's important to establish these landmarks in our lives, not to remove them. Verse number 3 there. We are to endure hardness in the battle for the landmarks. A lot of Christians don't like a battle. But we need to stand up and be counted. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. It's a spiritual war. It's not over the ground. We're not like Islam. We're not fighting over the land. We're not trying to claim the land. It's a spiritual kingdom that we are working towards. But there is a battle going, and we as the soldiers of the cross, if you're a believer, you're a soldier of the cross. In verse number 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, for the sake of the believers, for the sake of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may also obtain salvation, which is through Jesus Christ. So he talks about the fruits that come then of such obedience, the fruits that come here and the outcomes of blessings that come in keeping those words and staying true to that which is right. We are told here to study to show ourselves approved unto God in chapter 2 and verse 15. To be students of the Word of God, that we would develop our knowledge and establish our landmarks in life for God. Just thinking of this for a moment. Where are you at in your life? Are you about submitting to the Lord and living within the boundaries of God? One girl who said to me, she said, Pastor, I'm not like you. I like to live on the edge. I said, yes, and you'd probably like to shift a few boundaries or to do away with a few boundaries, right? Oh, definitely, there's no boundaries, man, you know. Go for it. Dangerous. That'll lead you into all kinds of problems and discouragements in life. And you'll find yourself in the pitfalls of life. But foolish and unlearned questions, chapter 2, verse 23, avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, not to be just a fighter and a troublemaker and a striker, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, if you don't live within the boundaries of God's word and establish God's word in your life, you are opposing yourself. Your behaviours that are dictated by the world and which the world says okay and are outside of the boundaries of God are self-destructive. And they will result, if you do not receive Christ, they'll take you down, even to a devil's hell, because of your failure to recognise the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour and receive Him into your life. Having received Him, then, we need to establish the boundaries and live within the boundaries of God's Word and make that our lifestyle and our way. Warnings regarding moving the landmarks are in the Scriptures in Old and New Testament. Job chapter 24 and verse 2. As I was endeavouring to research this, I was led to this chapter. And this is a chapter that describes those that remove ancient landmarks. Verse number 2 of chapter 24. Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away the flocks. They feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert, go they forth to their work. Hey, sounds like I'm describing King's Cross on an average Saturday night. You know, taking the life of another or violently attacking somebody else is overstepping a landmark of God. It's a violation of God. Violence towards another and murderous actions are outlawed in the Word of God and are outside of the landmark of God's teaching. And yet this person here described that like a wild ass in the desert. How ever did we get to a place in society where we think we need our booze places open to 3 a.m. to continually serve alcohol? It makes no sense. To be open all afternoon and serving alcohol to a poor soul all afternoon, all night long, and all of it half the next day. As if you go over midnight, you're into the next day. It makes no sense. And it destroys good sense, because that alcohol destroys brain cells. And people can imbibe and take enough in that they'll fall dead on the street right there. Some of you are very naive looking at me right now. You're very naive. And you need to wake up to yourself. Because you're about to go over a landmark. And once you go over and deal with that and get rid of that in your life, you will find it hard ever to recover that landmark. Oh, be wise. Wake up to yourselves. Wake up to yourselves before it's too late. So here it's important to establish landmarks in our lives. These wild people here that want to throw over. Of course the alcohol crowd don't want to close down alcohol sales. There's already a law in place that they're not supposed to serve alcohol to somebody that's already drunk. Get me going. It's a landmark been torn down. Remember when they did away with 6 o'clock closing? Then they made it 9 o'clock. And then they continued to extend, and we got more and more problems with people with shot livers, people living a short life, and then all of the fighting and everything else that goes on with that bad lifestyle. Pulling that landmark down was a very foolish thing to do. We've lived in 100 years of landmark demolition. And there are some notable figures that have had a big part in destroying landmarks. One of them is Mr. Darwin himself, the proponent of evolution, and doing away with the Creator God to whom we are accountable. That's a terrible thing to do. And to try and establish our origins outside of the perimeters of a creating God. And that landmark teaching of a special creation of God, Genesis chapter 1 to 11, the special creation of God, has been torn down in many of the Bible teaching institutions around Sydney. We are one of the few in this city that believe in the inspiration of the Bible and the fact that those 11, that account of creation, is true and accurate. Special creation, short amount of time. Not a problem for me. I watched Dr. Herrington here. He's a very quiet and unassuming gentleman. I watched Dr. Herrington doing some experiments here at the church homeschool group. He put this solution in and straight away a change took place. It wasn't a chance, it was a change. Mr. Darwin runs out of time. His evolutionary process of all these chances and so forth, there is not enough time for all that foolish talk. No wonder gambling's on the increase, because evolution teaches chance. It teaches the outcome of chance. And how ridiculous is that? When you get down to microbiology, when you get right down to the basic units of life and the basic cells, you find that there is a world within a world. And that's testimony to our great Creator God. The landmark of creation. When that is torn down, we just become no more than animals. We have no accountability, and so that kind of lifestyle develops worse than animals, I would suggest. So it is that society tearing down the boundaries. Another key thing that I think is very serious, and I name two gentlemen here, Westcott and Hort. Mr. Westcott and Mr. Hort came up with a new Greek manuscript, which they said they found in a most amazing place, in a rubbish bin in the Vatican. Even the Catholics had wisdom to throw it in the bin. But those two Protestant come whatevers, endeavourers, entrepreneurs, whatever you might call them, thought here was an opportunity right here. They took them home, and they formed up a new Greek text, Westcott and Hort. They said this is superior. It's a later, an earlier date, I think they said it was. It's superior. It's so great. What about the majority text, which was over 1,000 texts that all said the same thing, but theirs is taking a different line? So in that comes from that the modern Bible version. Say the New King James sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty corrupt and very deceitful. Because all of the changes in the New King James run the same as Westcott and Hort and the other translations that are based on Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort were not true believers as you and I are. They had a little ghost club that they were part of. They were experimenting in supernatural activities of spirit of the spirit world. And of course the master of deception is Satan. That deception came in, and then our modern translations began to remove landmarks. The RSV, one of the earliest modern translations, every time the blood was mentioned throughout the New Testament, they substituted another word. Tricky semantics. They used another word because they didn't like the blood of Christ. So they began playing around, having moved the landmark. The ecumenical movement is very much about landmark moving. The German rationalists and liberals were behind all of this to a great degree, to change the perceptions of life and basically to free up people from the bondage to the Word of God as they saw it. But however, walking in God's ways, living according to the boundaries, is pure joy and freedom. Melody's driving home afterwards. She's going to make sure that when it says 80, we're doing 80. When it says 60, we're doing 60. It's got a nice little chariot there that goes quite well. If you live within the boundaries, you're not going to be worried about the man in blue with his taking a picture of you. Isn't it amazing how they like to do that? To take a picture here and there, you know. And you get stopped right away. If you live within the boundaries of the road rules, you are indeed a happy individual. It's going to save your points and save you money. Living in the boundaries brings blessings. And we need to see that. The blessings that there are of living within the landmarks, living within the boundaries established of God and His Word. Some of the landmarks I haven't got time for too much in this. Creation. The scriptures given by revelation and beautifully preserved in the English language in our King James Bible. Free of error. Without error. Beautifully preserved so that we can enjoy God's Word. And as we read, God can speak to our hearts through His Word. The doctrine of God. And all that is involved, the holiness of God, the judgment of God, and the hell that is prepared for the devil and his angels. The doctrine of Christ, his virgin birth, his pre-existence with the Father, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his miracles that he performed. He's still a God of miracles. The miracle of the new birth. When you receive Christ as Savior and you're born again of the Spirit of God, the miracles of Christ are wonderful and they are all true. His death, burial and resurrection, His ascension to the Father. These wonderful facts about the Lord Jesus Christ are well established. The blood atonement, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not by the blood of bulls and goats and other things or any man or the sacrifice or any other thing of any other body. It is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is monumental. That is so clear. That is such a strong landmark to do away with it, is to do away with the redeeming blood and people remain in their sins and try and get to heaven by works. Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And we owe a lot to Mr. Luther who established this landmark. The just shall live by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He did all of that for you, if you understand the doctrine of man that you are a sinner, it's another monumental thing being torn down, the doctrine of man and man's nature as a sinner. We're born in sin. Our parents, our original parents, they sinned, and we are that way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God as we recognize our need as sinners. Turn to Christ and believe on Him and receive Him into our lives. We are born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. is a wonderful and monumental truth. He's coming again in the clouds of glory to snatch the believers away, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God for that wonderful truth that we look forward to. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, I said we were going to spend a moment looking at a boy that got rid of the boundaries. Please, in Luke chapter 15, just a few moments now in closing. Quite a serious aspect to this message today. The boy that removed the boundaries. It is a sad story. Repeated so many times over. The boy that said to his father, I've had enough of you in this home, in this place, and your rules and boundaries, why I'm going out to really live. Your boundaries, your old-fashioned ways. The prodigal son says to his father, give me what is mine. Give me my inheritance and give it to me now, as I'm going out to really live. I've had enough of your rules and regulations and your religion and your ideas. I'm sick of all of that, and I want to try life. Oh, there are people down the street. They've got little happy pills. Your life here. I can try the happy pill. That'll really do it. Wake up. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, the prodigal son. Wine, women, and song. I'm really going to live it up. I'm really going to find life. No, you won't. You'll find the ways of death. You'll find destruction. You'll find disease. You'll find terrible situations that you are likely to get yourself in. You'll find all kinds of miseries and sorrows if you just kick over the traces. Well, and don't expect, Father, that I'm going to be writing you any letters. I won't be talking to you anymore. I've had enough of you. I'm out of here. Oh, what a sad thing when a son or a child just walks out on the parents. Oh, what a sad thing it is, you know, when parents lodge with the police, missing child. Missing child. And spend, in some cases, the next 10, 20 years in their heart of hearts looking for that child. Has turned their back on the right ways. Turned their back on family. That's a monument of God. The family. Oh, to turn your back on the family, to walk out into the world and think that you've arrived and you've taken a step upward. Oh dear. You get rid of that landmark in your life and you'll be a sad person. In fact, when you're 55, your father's already dead. You want to go and find who your real father is. Duh. The prodigal son. He says, I'm out of here. I'm going downtown. I moved to the city. Yeah. What a great move. I'm going down King's Cross. I'm going to get sloshed down there. How about the money? I'll have plenty of friends down there. Yeah, while the money's gone, while the booze is rolling. Yeah. But when reality strikes, when the rubber meets the roads, when the perimeters have been eroded and life takes on a dark form, a sinful form, and you wish for home, you'd wish for family, you'd wish you'd never made those mistakes. You wish you'd never taken that first drink. You wish you'd never taken that first drug. You wish you'd never gone that way. What happened to you? The boundaries were destroyed. We won't start talking about modern education and destruction of the boundaries. Thank God for a government that's got some wisdom into looking into that sort of a problem. We tell people in their education, just do your own thing. You're a free citizen. You have your rights. Do your thing. And then the first time they do it, the policeman's there ready to give them a ticket. It's not true. It's not a proper understanding of life. Life without boundaries does not work. It results in death and carnage and wastage and failure to be pleasing to the Lord God, the Father of all. But you know what happened to this young man? Praise God in verse number 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son. What did the father do? Well, you've done the wrong thing. You've been away. Keep going, buddy. No, the father reached out, loved and forgave the son. Though he foolishly rejected the boundaries and had to learn the hard way, There's been many famous evangelists whose son has had to learn the hard way. Rejected the father's message, rejected the father's Bible, rejected the father's lifestyle, went out to live in the world. But then finally, conviction of the Spirit of God coming back to sensible and sane biblical standards and biblical living. Well, a lot more could be said, but I want you to remember today, things did not go well for this boy that rejected the landmarks. And let me remind you that things would not go well for you if you reject the landmarks of God, if you reject the Word of God, the principles of God, the standards of God, the ways of God. Yes, the Lord will forgive you if you have failed and done wrong. He will forgive. But today the challenge is, you need to get back in relationship with the Father. Christian, you've wandered away. You're tempted to throw over the traces, reject the landmarks, reject the guidelines and principles of your parents and so forth. You're here this morning, you've trusted Christ, but you are tempted to go on out. You need to come to an altar here this morning and say to the Lord, Lord, forgive my sin. Lord, I yield myself to you. Take control of my life. Lead me in your ways. That's an important decision. You're tampering with the playing around with landmarks today. You know who you are. You're tampering and playing around with landmarks in your life. God knows about it, and you don't look too happy for it either. Can't hide it from God or anyone else, really. You're tampering with it. You're playing around with this. You're just playing Christianity and playing around with these guidelines and kicking over the traces. There are two things that I'd like to remind you about. Number one, are you really saved? Because if your whole life is just lived on the basis of you, you have never then transferred by faith into the basis of God and of the Saviour. And you need to come today by faith and commit yourself to Christ as your Lord and Saviour and to let Him save you and take over in your life. However, you could be saved and yet you are foolishly seeking to tear down some boundaries and go into the light lanes of misery, of burdens, of guilt, sorrow, alienation from God and family and others that care. This morning, would you deal with that? Receive Christ as Saviour, or this morning submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the biblical guidelines. It's going to be a miserable year for you if you don't yield. You're going to hear the landmarks of God. You're going to hear about the boundaries all year long. Wouldn't it be better to yield to Christ? Say, Lord, take control. I'm committing myself to live in your boundaries so you can enjoy the principles, you can enjoy the landmarks, and you can climb some mountains of monumental landmarks for God. And get excited about what God is wanting to do with your life. So this morning there is a challenge there. Let's stand together, please, then, as we come to the end of this service.